Well, I want to squelch a rumor that I started. Mike's back problem has nothing to do with the fact that he's a Boston Red Sox fan. Even though I think there's some truth to that, but anyway. Well, a man was sitting at a traffic light behind another car. The light turned green, but the car in front of him didn't move because the driver was distracted. Now, the guy behind him started tapping on his horn to no avail. So, the driver behind laid on the horn. Well, by the time the driver in the first car realized what was going on, he looked up and the light was changing to red already. So the man in the second car became very angry and he started pounding on the steering wheel. He rolled down his window and he yelled, "You stupid jerk, are you blind? Green means go." Well, the angry driver didn't notice a policeman parked next to the intersection. The policeman approached the car of the angry man and asked the driver to step out of his car and show him his driver's license. The guy said, "You can't arrest me for yelling at that jerk." And the policeman just asked him to wait. And a few minutes later, after the policeman finished on his radio conversation, he returned and he said, "Okay, you can return to your car now." But by this time, the guy was really mad. And he said, "I know my rights. You can't detain me for getting mad. You haven't heard the last of this." Policeman said, "I didn't detain you because you were hollering and getting mad. I couldn't help notice that you had a wooden cross hanging from your rearview mirror and a bumper sticker that read, 'Honk if you love Jesus.'" Said, "I assumed this car belonged to a Christian, so when I saw the way you were acting, I suspected that you had stolen this car." Ouch. Well, this is week 4 in our series, Church on a Downward Slide. It's a study of the letter written to the Galatian churches. The letter exposes the difficulties within the early church found there in Galatia and the lessons for us as Calvary Baptists to learn. This morning we're going to look at what I'm calling orthopedic Christianity. Orthopedics is the medical specialty involving our musculoskeletal system, making sure it's aligned properly, working properly. What does this have to do with our walk with Jesus? Well, we'll see as we move along here this morning. Last week, we saw how the first church council meeting met in Jerusalem. And there, they verified that what Paul was teaching to the Gentiles, particularly in this case to the Galatians, was verified as accurate and true, the concept of grace alone. No tradition, no ritual, no law brings about salvation. Only by the grace of God can salvation enter our lives. And then sometime later, after this council meeting, it led to a forceful encounter between Paul and Peter. And that's what we're looking at this morning. We're in the second chapter of Galatians, and this morning we start with verse 11. Paul writes, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned." Well, just a reminder that Cephas is the other name for Peter. Actually, it's the Aramaic name for Peter. Aramaic is a Hebrew dialect that the Jews spoke in that day. Peter is actually closer, or Petros is the Greek version of it. Cephas is the Aramaic. So Paul is speaking of Peter here. Paul began this part with this word, but. But that means that it's attached to something. That means it's in comparison to something. And in this case, it's comparison to the last story, the story about the Jerusalem Council. The council leaders agreed that Gentiles needed to be concerned with grace alone. But, sometime later, Peter journeys north from Jerusalem up to Antioch. Now, Antioch was a thriving, growing Gentile church at this time. Actually, it was at Antioch where followers of Jesus Christ are first called Christian, not in Jerusalem, in Antioch. It's at Antioch where the very first missionary journey takes place. It's where they send Paul and Barnabas out, not in Jerusalem, in Antioch. Antioch was a moving place. Something happened, though. Paul needed to get into Peter's face when Peter arrived there. And it's a public confrontation. It's not something that's held behind the scenes. Now, I know in Matthew 18, Jesus spoke of going to your brother or sister in Christ in private as a first step when there's a problem. But Paul went to Peter in public. This issue concerned the entire church. There was the potential of a poison that was going to spread. So what do we find? Verse 12 and 13. For before certain people came from James, he being Cephas or Peter, was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So what's going on here? Peter was up in Antioch, basically having a blast. He was having a good time. He was feeling free from ritualistic law. You could say, I'm exaggerating here, okay. You could say he was at the Antioch Church Gentile Barbecue Fest. He's having a good old time there. Remember Acts, the 10th chapter? Peter had a vision. A large sheet coming out of heaven, filled with all sorts of unclean Jewish animals. And it's lowered from heaven, and it happens three times. And each time God says, eat, Peter says, no. That's unclean stuff, God. But God won the day. Peter realized that God was opening up the door to move beyond ritualistic laws and to reach out to Gentiles. Well, back to our story. We find out that James, leader of the Jerusalem church, sent men down or up to Antioch to see how things are going. When they arrive, Peter became fearful. He dropped his barbecue pork ribs and backed out the door. Peter feared what his Jewish brothers were going to tell James. Well, what's going on? I mean, we started this with that little word, but. The leadership council said grace alone, but. Why is Peter fearful then, if it's grace alone? Well, there's two strongest answers probably. One is that early on that the church council's decision was really more about Gentiles not needing to follow Jewish rituals, but the Jews still needed to participate in their ancestors' traditions. And the circumcision party was sent by James, and Peter felt guilty for disobeying Jewish traditions. That's one thought on this. The other is that what we have listed here is the circumcision party, and the James group are really two different groups. And it's the James group that came on the scene. The circumcision group is back still in Jerusalem. The circumcision group is a nationalistic Jews-only club. And the James group came to Antioch, and the fear that spread was that when the James group went back to Jerusalem, that some of the circumcision party people might hear about these Jews, like Peter up there, acting like a Gentile, and then come after them. Well, whichever way it was, what it does show is that there was still a nervousness among the Jews concerning departure from rituals, traditions, and the law, even though they were free in Christ. And it wasn't just Peter. The passage says the other Jews who were present also. Others were involved in this pig fest, and they withdrew too. And Paul called them hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. Now, in case you don't know, the word hypocrite actually comes from a Greek acting word, drama word. The Greek dramas in that day, you would usually have one person who would play many roles in a drama. And they would have a different mask that they would have in front of their face depending on which part they were playing. And so they would go from playing this role, and they would remove the mask, put another mask on in front of them for the next role, right in the middle of the drama. So to call them a hypocrite meant wearing different masks, or as we say, two-faced. Really, for the Jews, it meant something even more severe. It meant wickedness and heresy. Paul saw Peter and the other Jews as being heretical, as being two-faced, because they raised the level of traditions and rituals to the level of freedom found through grace on the cross. And I believe the hardest moment for Paul on this day is the last person he mentioned. This hypocrisy was found in Peter, was found in the other Jews, and Paul stressed here, even Barnabas. Even Barnabas. Barnabas, who mentored Paul in the early days. Barnabas, who stood up for Paul, even when other Jews were fearful of him, that he really wasn't a Christian, and this was some secret espionage to get rid of other Christians. Barnabas stood up for him. Barnabas and Paul, who are co-teachers now at Antioch. Barnabas and Paul, who went on the first missionary journey together. And this fear led to hypocrisy and struck the heart of even Barnabas. Well, has that changed? How often in churches today are freedom lovers in Christ afraid of ritualist and traditionalist? We're afraid of what they think. We're afraid of their complaints and their gripes and their power. And they can be so forceful that they make good people, even Barnabases, cower. We must draw a line in the sand, just like Paul. Freedom lovers relying on the outward focus of grace alone must stand up for the real gospel and stop cowering for what becomes an inward-focused traditionalist and law-keepers. Let me expound on that for just a moment. Because you have to really pick up on this. The Jews were given many of these rituals by God. Not to eat certain animals, not to do in this way. And God is saying now, you don't need to do that anymore. You don't have to do those rituals anymore. It's grace alone. Because what happened to the Jews even while they followed these rituals? They were supposed to be a nation that revealed God to the people around them, and instead they turn inward. They turn inward. All these rituals and traditions, it made them turn inward. Yes, rituals and traditions can have some purpose and good, but it seems like it always makes us turn inward. And it happens within church too. Our rituals, our traditions make us turn inward. And we are to be people who are outward focused. Last verse, verse 14. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Well, leaders of the early church violated the truth of the gospel. Honestly, I think one of the strongest evidences of the divine authorship of our scriptures is that the Bible doesn't try to cover up or gloss over the mistakes and failures of its heroes. If ordinary people created the Bible, we would cover up those faults. But the Bible is full of stories of great people who failed, and failed tremendously. And that should give each one of us hope. Because we've all made poor choices. We've all made dumb mistakes in life. And God can still redeem us. Paul said, when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. Okay, now some translations therefore not in step says not straightforward. Well, the Greek word that Paul used here is orthopedia. Orthopedia. Ortho means straight. Pedia means foot. Straight foot is where we get orthopedic from. If you break your arm, the orthopedic surgeon straightens the bone to line them up to reset it. And Paul saw that Peter's theology and his lifestyle were in need of straightening. He needed the work of an orthopedic Christianity. He said, Peter, you arrived in Antioch and you lived like a Gentile. He said, that's fine, that's all well and good. But when the Jews from Jerusalem came on the scene, you turned off that Gentile switch and you became Jewish again. You're hypocritical. You need straightening by the orthopedic surgeon called the Holy Spirit. Well, the lesson of the Galatians was that Peter and the others were free in Christ until peer pressure of traditions, laws, and rituals bore down on them. And then they got out of line in their faith. They got out of line in their faith trying to obey the rituals and traditions. And they feared man instead of fearing God. They needed a big dose of orthopedic Christianity. They needed the Holy Spirit to correct the brokenness that was in their lives. And are we any different? I mean, we can easily become out of step. So let's take these next few minutes and look at some examples in this story. And the first one is out of step hypocrite. Of course, Peter was our example in the story. As long as Jerusalem muckety-mucks didn't show up, don't see me, I can have my barbecue, but I will live differently when they arrive. Some people claim they won't go to church because it's filled with hypocrites. Well, they're right. We are. Come join us. You'll feel right at home. I mean, we put on our masks, don't we? We put on our mask. One of my favorites is mom and dad and the kids early in the morning trying to get them ready for church. Maybe it's forcing them to go to church, getting them clothed, everything. Everybody's getting tense. The ride to church can be silent, or maybe a few harsh words are spoken. The family hits the church door, and those frowns of anger turn to brilliant smiles of how we love Jesus. Hypocrites, but aren't we all? Church is an orthopedic hospital. Okay? This is a place of healing. We don't come here already perfect. It's not a place of perfection. We all have our straightening out that's needed. We need our mask ripped off and get our lives straightened out in Christ. Laws, rituals, traditions must be replaced instead with the gospel of grace, faith, and love. all of us act like Peter sometime. You know, I thought about it. When Paul confronted Peter, I mean, we're talking about two heavyweights here, okay? When Paul confronted Peter, he could have said this to Paul. Peter could have said, "Who do you think you are, Paul? I'm one of the 12 that walked with Jesus for 3 years, Paul. I'm the one Jesus called Rock. I walked on water, Paul. It was a short while, but I walked on water. Have you walked on water, Paul? I was in the inner circle of three. I saw Jesus transfigured. I preached a message at Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved on that day, Paul. I healed a lame man in the temple, Paul. Who do you think you are?" Well, I don't know, maybe Peter had that as an initial gut reaction. And sometimes do we act like that if somebody confronts us with the truth? Then it kind of makes us take a step back. I've served all my life. I've done this, this, and this. I've led in this area in church. Who do you think you are? But from Peter's later writings, it appears he understood a lot about humility. In his writings, we see his change and growth. God can straighten our hypocrisy. Also, out-of-step leadership we find in the story. Our example here is James. James, leader of the Jerusalem church. James, half-brother of Jesus, still had his moments of needing straightened out of his life by the orthopedic surgeon, the Holy Spirit. I mean, throughout church history, for 2,000 years, church leaders have failed. They're humans too. What do? We lift them up on these pedestals, and what that does is it makes it much higher for them to fall. Well, here's news for some of you. Somewhere along the way, I will fail you. Somewhere along the way, I will fail you. Because I'm not perfect, and I don't claim to be. Oh, I'll maybe misunderstand a situation. Maybe the calendar will collide. I'll fail to visit someone when there's a need. And none of it's ever intentional. Things just happen in life. You get pulled in so many different directions. And I constantly fail the perfection test. Just to let you know up front. Just a few weeks ago, I told Debbie this. There were some comments from the membership, actually, that scares me. It was said in the form of a compliment, okay? But it's of how I'm going to do these wonderful things for this church. And that scares me in many ways because I've heard from people on two sides of the argument who think I'm going to win the day for them. Well, I'm human, I'm not Jesus Christ, and I need the Holy Spirit to perform surgery on me on a regular basis to straighten me out. From the book of James, we see how James received orthopedic surgery in his life too. You read through that book and you can see that within it, it was like, "Perform your surgery on me, O Holy Spirit." Are you a leader in this church concerned more with inward focus rather than outward? If so, you're an out-of-step leader. Out-of-step crowd. It's represented by the other Jews in the story. Peter wasn't the only one who didn't have a straight backbone that day. The other Jews went from pig fest to kosher real quick too. When Paul confronted Peter openly in public, it really was about a reprimand for the crowd. And some of you may have that crowd mentality. If the crowd says, "We need to make sure we follow these laws or traditions or rituals, even though they may not be biblical at all. They're man-made." You might find yourself falling in line. Well, it doesn't matter what the crowd says or think. If any ritual or law or tradition becomes more important than the Bible, conflict with the Bible. If they point inward instead of outward, don't follow the crowd. Rituals, laws, and traditions always lead to inward thinking. They are safety nets. That's the reason why we have them. They become our safety nets. And the Bible always points us outwardly towards others, and that can feel dangerous. But maybe your Christian life has become boring because you want safety net, not adventure. Are you a crowd follower? Seek the orthopedic surgeon, the Holy Spirit, not the crowd mentality. Last one, out-of-step friends. This is pictured by way of Barnabas. Part of me believes this is the most painful part for Paul right here. Just from the way he wrote, even Barnabas, very sad. Barnabas was a dear friend, a co-worker, and Barnabas even fell into the law, ritual, tradition trap, and Paul's heart must have sunk. Have you ever had a friend hurt you? It can be painful. Sadly, many of us are not as strong as Paul when those friends try to pull us one way or another. When our friends step out of line, we often follow them, and maybe we don't want to hurt them. Maybe we're deceived, but they need the Holy Spirit to correct their lives, and by falling in line in their fallacy, it only delays their straightening and begins to take us down a crooked path. Well, I open this with a story about the honking and yelling driver and the policeman. There was some humor there, but also some very serious thought. Too many Christians wear a cross around their neck, proclaim a love for Jesus Christ, only to live apart from where they need to be, from facing the life that they need to live. And see, the world sees our hypocrisy. The world sees it. The world sees how we break the backs of our own people with our traditions and rituals that are man-made, and then we act unlovingly to each other. No wonder they don't want our Jesus. You and I need a healthy dose of orthopedic Christianity. We need our lives straightened out by the Holy Spirit. We need freedom in Christ when we come together in worship, when we come together in Bible study, when we come together in fellowship. We need the Holy Spirit to stop our small inward thinking mentality, and we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the outward focus of others more important than ourselves, more important than our laws, our traditions, and our rituals. We need Jesus more and more each day. And so I guess I want to close with a thought question. Do you want to be biblical or traditionalist and ritualist? Which way do you want to go? Because the Bible is constantly pointing away from rituals and traditions and grace alone. Which way do you want to be? This morning also, the question is, if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart and life, we began in our prayer time by praying for those who do not know our Lord and Savior. And maybe you're here this morning and you're depending a life on rituals and traditions and thinking you can earn your way to God, and it doesn't work that way. It's only by grace alone, because God loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You need to admit you're a sinner. You need to believe that Jesus is exactly who He said He was, the Son of God, who came and bore your sin on the cross and died for you and then rose again 3 days later in the power of God. Believe in Him, trust in Him, turn your life over to Him and choose to follow Him. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe there's other needs in your heart today that you need to take to God. Maybe there's an area you need to let Him straighten out within you. Be the orthopedic surgeon, the Holy Spirit. Or maybe this morning, you're not a member here, you're a Christian, and you've just been kind of waiting around. Well, get on the team. Get on the team. Come and be a part of Calvary Baptist, and let's work together in the Lord. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Father, thank You for, once again, the teaching from Paul that You inspired him. He had to have great strength on that day when he not only stood up to Peter, stood up to Barnabas, and stood up to the other Jews who were present at that time. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be orthopedia people, straight-footed people, straight-lifed people in you, not depending upon our own self, not depending upon rituals and traditions, but your grace alone, and allow your Holy Spirit to change us and mold us. Lord, guide us now in this time of decision-making, that your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand as we sing together.
Take my life, lead me, Lord.